I believe the time is coming when the Lord shall come again. I believe the end is nearing every day. I believe the good old Bible from beginning to the end. Just compare today with Matthew 24. And we are living in the day he speaks about. All these things we now are having every day. Let's get ready for his coming. Let us meet him
with a shout. For he tells us in his word to watch and pray.
While upon the Mount of Olives his disciples came to him, saying, Master, tell us when this thing shall be. Just be ready, be watching, let each one be free from sin. For he tells us in his word to watch and pray. And we are living in the day he speaks about.
All these things we now are having every day.
Let's get ready for his coming. Let us meet him with a shout. For he tells us in his word to watch and pray. Many wars shall come upon us when the end of time is here. Many earthquakes will be numerous in those days. All of these today we're having, and in Matthew will appear. We shall live our lives for him and sing his praise. And we are living in the day he speaks about. All these things we now are having every day. Let's get ready for his coming. Let us meet him with a shout. For he tells us in his word to watch and pray. Many wars shall come upon us when the end of time is here. Many earthquakes will be numerous in those days. All of these today we're having, and in Matthew will appear. We shall live our lives for him and sing his praise. And we are living in the day he speaks about. All of these we now are having every day. Let's get ready for his coming. Let us meet him with a shout. For he tells us in his word to watch and pray. And we are living in the day he speaks about. All these things we now are having every day. Let's get ready for his coming. Let us meet him with a shout. For he tells us in his word to watch and pray.
Many earthquakes will be numerous in those days. Just get, take your phone, the latest earthquakes, the last week. They say earthquakes today, and it'll tell you exactly how many earthquakes there were today. Many earthquakes will be happening in these days. They'll just, earthquake rocks Canary Islands. The Canary Islands, there was an earthquake 16 hours ago. 13 hours ago, there was a rumbling in Colombia. And, 5.4 in Calota today. Today, that's today. Some strong earthquake of 5.3 magnitude hits Calcutta. I don't know where that is, somewhere in the world. It'll tell you how many there were in the last week. It goes, sometimes it goes into the, hundreds. Earthquake. Many earthquakes will be happening in those days. Wars and rumors of wars. That's what's happening. South Carolina had an earthquake. 3-point magnitude. This is real, you know. We're talking about things that's current. So, many earthquakes will be happening in those days just because they're not under your house. That don't mean they're not happening. The world is a pretty big place. And somewhere, I think the other day, it was close to 1,000 in 1 week earthquakes around the world. That's the hour we're living in. We're not making things up. When summer finally gets here, it's a warm time of year. People go on vacation, they go far and near. Someday I'll take me a journey, and the star will align. I'm going home for vacation, but I'll be coming back. I'm gonna take a vacation past the moon and the star. I'm gonna walk down the golden street. No traffic, no car. I'm gonna lay in his sunlight. Gonna swim in the river of life. I'm going home for vacation. I'm waiting for my flight. Now if you want to go with me, here's what you must do. Get your ticket from Jesus. He will show you through. Heaven's not on a road map. There's only one way to enjoy a vacation. Like we'll have someday. I'm gonna take a vacation past the moon and the star. I'm gonna walk down the golden street. No traffic, no car. I'm gonna lay in this sunlight. Gonna swim in the river of life. I'm going home for vacation. I'm waiting for my flight. Now if you want to go with me, here's what you must do. Get your ticket from Jesus. He will show you through. Heaven's not on the road map, and there's only one way to enjoy a vacation. Like we'll have someday. I'm gonna take a vacation past the moon and the star. I'm gonna walk down the golden street. No traffic, no car. I'm gonna lay in the sunlight. I'm gonna swim in the river of life. I'm going home for vacation. I'm waiting for my flight. That's what we're doing, why we're doing what we're doing. Persevere. Be in the fight. There's a fight to be fought. Can't just lay down and not do nothing. Just continue on with materialism.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this world is all about, materialism. That's what laodicea is. That's what dead. It's sold out to materialism. As in Sean de Letts and Satan. That's what happens in the ending of this.
That's right. All the signs are around us. All the signs are pointing to the coming of the Lord.
I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be blessed than riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be a king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's red sway. I'd rather than anything this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than man's applause. I'd rather be faithful to this dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to His holy name than to be a king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's red sleep. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. Yeah, if these people over in the Middle East would sing that song, they would be fighting. They're always fighting for property over there.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wants a kingdom. Everybody wants to be a strong man. Mm-hmm. It's all about fighting for property, fighting for Israel. They want to have Israel. That's what I always say. If they quit fighting other people, then they start fighting amongst themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You may wonder why I choose to live this way. And you may wonder why I make it through the day. Well, I found the answer when I fell down on my knees. I would rather live for Him more than anything. Oh, I would rather live for Him more than anything I know. More than houses and land or riches untold, than to live in this world and lose my soul. I know you, my friend, I would rather live for Him more than anything I know. All these earthly things, they will ruin and decay, but it don't matter, I don't need them anyway. For my treasure is over somewhere on the blue. I have given Him my everything, now it's all up to you. Oh, I would rather live for Him more than anything I know. More than houses and land or riches untold, than to live in this world and lose my soul. I tell you, my friend, I would rather live for Him more than anything I know. All these earthly things, they will ruin and decay, but it don't matter, I don't need them anyway. For my treasure is over somewhere on the blue. I've given Him my everything, now it's all up to you. Oh, I would rather live for Him more than anything I know. More than houses and land or riches untold, than to live in this world and lose my soul. I tell you, my friend, I'd rather live for Him more than anything I know. When that great day comes, I won't have much to lose. I don't have nothing to hold me here.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to land on that heavenly route. He gave them smiling the Laban's way, then he raised himself escape on. Then once again they just see a few, them hay and bass and them along. Ege, ege, them schmal, Laban's ring. Ege, ege, them schmal, Laban's ring.
Hey, gate and schmal in the Lebensweg. Up jeden und drei will, den Weg von den geschrieben steht, das erst ein Tor nicht ist. Ich geh den strahlen Lebensweg, ich geh den schmalen Schmalen Lebensweg, wenn auch verlassen hier, so bin ich dennoch nicht allein. Mein Jesus bleibt bei mir. Ich geh den schmalen Lebensweg. Schmalen Lebensweg, doch triffst allein und nur durch Gottes Hilfe, Gnade und Kraft, gehorsam bis zum Tod. Ich geh den schmalen Lebensweg, getreu durch Spott und Hohn, bis Jesus mich ein Süßer ruft, nach mir dann wird er lohn. Ich geh den schmalen Lebensweg, ich geh den schmalen Lebensweg. Going home, going home, there's nothing to hold me. I've got a glimpse of that heavenly home. Praise God, I'm going home. Nothing to hold me, for I caught a glimpse of that heavenly home. Praise God, I'm going home, going home, going home. There is nothing to hold me, for I caught a glimpse of that heavenly home. Praise God, I'm going home.
Seek your own salvation with fear and trembling. Philippians 2, verse 12. So then, my dear friends, just as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but even in more in my absence, turn you working out your salvation with awe and reverence. That's the word that. Here it says awe and reverence. The other one says with fear and trembling. But it's all about that. All it takes, it's all about a respect for the Word of God. That's where it's at. You know, if you don't have any respect for the Word of God, then everything we're saying doesn't mean nothing. This thing that we're doing, this journey you and I are on, it's just for people that are concerned about their eternal destiny. It's not for people out there that are still wallowing in the things of this world. That's for people that have a hunger and a thirst. For other than that, it's just entertainment. You haven't made up your decision. you haven't made up your mind that you want to go to heaven, and you want your children to go to heaven. You want to get out of this jungle that we're in. That's what it's all about. And I keep seeing it over and over again. The Lord, I was just caught up in like everybody else, but the Lord got a hold of me back in the day, and he came to me at 2 o'clock at night, in the morning there, and told him, saying, I'm coming soon. And I lost interest in the things of this world. Yeah, it was a 40-year battle and a fight to shed the things of this world. Well, like I say, I was caught up like everybody else. But there's no future in this world. This world is on the way out, especially here in these closing days of time. There's nothing left of it. I mean, we've been fighting this thing for 40 years, and it's our main trust. It's our main thing. We have only one mission. We have only one ministry. We have only one thing to say. The coming of the Lord is nigh at hand. And in order to believe what we're saying, you have to have a reverence and a respect. You can be treated with awe and with respect. Because if you don't, you're going to be taken in. You're going to be taken in by the things of this world. Mm-hmm. Just like Laodicea with riches and wealth and all this comfort living. But see, Laodicea in the eyes of God, Laodicea spewed out. The church world out there, they don't have nothing for you. There's nobody you can go around the world. You don't even have to go and get on a planet. All you gotta do is go on YouTube. And thank you all over the world, and they'll tell you exactly what's out there. It's all just materialism. Everything's on the way out, and you're not gonna hear it the way you're hearing it here. We're cutting right to the chase. We're saying it the way it needs to be said, and we, like I say, we've spent 40 years trying to crucify the flesh, trying to get out of the jungle. That's been an easy fight, because we had to end up losing everything, and God put us on this journey. And now, a lot of people think that everybody has to seek their own salvation. You got to do it yourself. We're not responsible for what other people do. We're just trying to make it easy for them. We've been given a commission and a mandate from the God of heaven when he told me, he woke me up saying, I'm coming soon, and I set my face as a flint to get ready for the coming of the Lord. It's just that simple. That's what everybody that has any common sense should do. Get ready for the coming of the Lord, because the signs that the prophets foretold, they're all around us. It's just breaking out everywhere. No matter how you look, no matter what you think of us, it doesn't really matter what you think of us. And the thing of it is, we're doing everything we know to do to warn people about the coming of the Lord. He's given us a mandate to do this very thing. He's given us a mandate to hold on to the things that have been taught, to put up front, out on the front pages of biblical history, that God did send a prophet. That's the only mandate that God has given us. Even these closing days of time, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet, and anything out of that ministry here in the church here, the Laodicea, anything outside of Brother Branham and Brother Jackson, it's going to take you out to hell. And that, it's just that simple. I don't care how good it can preach and how good it looks. That is what Jesus meant when he said back in the day when he was still here. He was just before going out to the crucifixion. He said, this is going to be eternal life, that they believe on them whom I will send. See, you and I, we tapped into that program, that word. We have a reverence and a respect for the word of God. And then he said he's going to send these seven stars back in the book of Revelation. John turned around, and there he saw Jesus with seven stars. And then goes on to explain these seven stars that you saw in my right hand. They're the seven angels to the church ages of Laodicea. Of the Great Age. The Great Age is divided into seven church ages, and all we're doing, we're keeping this thing alive. Because out there, anything outside of this channel, anything outside of this chamber, it's just going to take you out to hell and death. I don't care how many preachers you got telling you otherwise. I don't care anything about that. I have, and we have, a reverence and a respect for the Word of God, because back even in the days of Micah, Micah was very concerned about what's going on around the land. It was just as corrupt as it is today. And now God came on the scene and told him, it said unto you, O man, what good for you? Keep the word of God. Have a reverence and a respect for the word of God. As this dear Mensch gesagt, was gut ist und was hilft, und dir fordert, namely Gottes Wort haben. That's the top of the line. Have a reverence and a respect for the word of God. If you don't have a reverence and a respect for the word of God, we could beat our guns here together throughout eternity. It doesn't matter. It doesn't mean a thing because you got no respect for it. You just take it for entertainment, and then you listen one day, and then the next day, maybe a week, and then you got no reverence, no respect, and then you go back into the gutter again. It's just that simple. Simply because you have no reverence and no respect for the word of God. You and I, we've trained ourselves, Lord. We found out the only way to go by, the only way to live, is to live by the word of God. That's why we take it very serious. When it says, seek your own salvation with fear and trembling, and then by seeking that, we found out here in these closing days, here in the church of the latest, God did send the prophet. And once we found that out, we just embraced it. We just embraced it with a passion. And we did what he said to do. He said, you got to get baptized in Jesus' name. That was back in 95 when I heard about God sending a prophet. And I knew it was the truth because he bore witness with my spirit. He answered all the questions that I had. I wondered what happened before the flood. Who were these people anyway that God would destroy that whole nation? And I found out it was the sons of Seth and the daughters of Cain that started mingling. They weren't supposed to mingle because Cain was from that wicked one. And that stuff down and Nod, and God did not want them to mingle and to bear children. And they started, the daughters from down from the land of Nod, the daughters of Cain, they came and mingled in with the sons of Seth. And that's where all that destruction came. And that's why they got so corrupted and polluted. It was all about sex and perversion. And before you know it, it became so perverted, God had to destroy that love. How did I find that out? I found it out through the ministry of Brother Branham when he came out and said, the sons of Seth and the daughters of Cain. And that answered that whole question. Every question that I had was answered by that apostolic and that prophetic ministry. And that's why we're on this course. It's sick here. It really doesn't. Nothing that we can do if people reject it. I mean, yeah, we're not responsible for what people do. We just put it out there for people that have a hunger and a thirst, and for people that want to care about their eternal destiny and about the eternal destiny of their children. Will they all get it? Probably not. But see, it's not our responsibility what to do. We go see people on a day-to-day basis many times, but there's no, the fish don't bite, you know. Mm-hmm. They're not interested. They're interested just exactly like Laodicea. They're rich. They're need of nothing. Exactly what it is. How did I find that out? I got a reverence and a respect for the word of God. I wanted to know what's going to be in his end time. All I got to go and see and read back in Revelation chapter 3 about the church age of Laodicea. They're rich, they're in need of nothing, they got all this wealth, and they're content to be in that cesspool of materialism. And then he says, I counsel of thee to buy of me gold, tried in the fire. That ministry of Brother Branham and Brother Jack is that gold, and that's the thing that's going to dress you. And we're bringing out here in this closing days of time, the final chapter before all hell breaks loose. We've been beating the gums here for 40 years, but see, the fish don't bite. They're not interested. And we find out every day when we go around looking for, see if there's anybody out there. We don't have to go there. Just switch your radar on. Lord, is there anybody around that you would want us to go talk to? Sometimes he wants us to go to see somebody or send them a book, but not to convert them. Just to the day of judgment, they will be held accountable. I sent you Samuel Rand and your midst and you rejected it. I said, they sent some books to you and you rejected, just like that old Denny, down from Heartland, you know, that I think he's 80 years old already, but he's hard to the point you can't even get in sideways. So we sent him some books trying to wake him up and he sent him back, oh no, we don't need your junk. Stay out of here. And See, he decided he does not want nothing about Christianity. He wants to continue down and living in this world of delusion, thinking he's that modern-day Jacob Hutter, trying to get this thing going. But see, God is against it. If the Lord doesn't build a house, those that build a house, they build in vain. And that's all that Heartland Colony is down there. They're just doing a pipe dream that old Buck had, that old Dan. And then he's got all these people there following him down to hell and that down to destruction simply because he rejected the truth. I was down there time and time again. I went back. Told him about the God sent the prophet of baptism in Jesus' name. Oh, he didn't want no part of that. And now there he's got what he wants. He's got that kitchen burned off. Now he called our stuff junk. Now he's got a whole junk pile of junk to clean up there now. That's where that stuff takes you. You just sold out the materialism. You have no future. Just that simple.
Heavenly Father, we come into your presence, Lord. Give you thanks for this another day of life. And many things you do for us, Lord. Just pray you just continue to help us to stay on course. Help us to crucify the flesh. Help us to be fervent and that first love that you gave us when back in the day that we done let that light go out, Lord. I just pray you continue to do with us as you see fit, Lord. Once again, give us the fire and the passion. To warn people about the coming of the Lord, about the day that's rapidly approaching you, Lord. It's going to break up one of these days, and people will have to prepare for themselves, Lord. I just pray you continue to open the hearts of the people. And just pray you get that increase in Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Mm-hmm. Amen. And like I say, you know, that's our main subject. That's our main trust. That's what we've got put us here. He raised us up and he put us here in his closing days of time. Just send out the warning. That's it. Just like back in the days of the prophets. He put these prophets out there to warn people what's coming. And it did come right to the day. And the things that we're saying, it's going to happen exactly right to the day. We got that. He gave us the revelation of that midnight cry. We've said it over and over and over again. But see, we're fighting all these deceptive spirits. The world is encased in deception and false delusion. Just like the Bible says back in the day. It says he'll send them strong delusion that they'll believe a lie. Perilous times, we're right in the midst of, we're right in the closing days of everything. Like we say, there's earthquakes and perilous times are here. All these signs are coming, assuring the coming of the Lord is nigh at hand. And all of our ambition and our honest sermon that we have, the coming of the Lord is nigh at hand. There's got to be somebody out there that's going to warn the people. And the Lord has given us that mandate because, you know, that we're not going to buckle under pressure when they put pressure on us. Just like they did back to all these people that can't afford. Like on them Jeremiah. Look at the pressure they put on him. Threatened him, threw him down a hole, down a well where it's just lying. Time and time again, they were just always terrorizing the people that came to warn them. Same with Ezekiel, the same with Isaiah. It's the same thing today. We're just putting out the warning, take it or leave it. If you take it, you'll be going to have a blessing then for you and your children. If you don't, well, there's nothing we can do about it. At the end of the day, you're going to find out there was somebody here on planet Earth that sent out warning after warning after warning. Been beating the drums here for the last 40 years, ever since the early 90s when the Lord came to me saying, I'm coming soon. And it's just, people don't want it. They want to live in their delusion. They want to live in Lula Land. But see, we'll just keep on going. We're just going to keep on doing what the Lord has haunted us out to do because we got nothing else to do. And what people do with it, that's their business.
Mm-hmm. The first thing when the Lord saved me was I wanted to be prepared when Jesus comes for the coming of the Lord. And God saw my heart and he put me on a journey. There's no way I could get prepared on the Hutterite Colony. And he took me off the Hutterite Colony and he brought me to the truth for our day and hour. The ministry of Brother Branham and Brother Jackson. And in that ministry was that preparation, that you can, will be prepared for the coming of the Lord. And that's the journey that God has put me on, to be ready for his coming. And then that's what Jesus said, like, you will see all the signs point to the coming of the Lord. Because we know that we are, the 6,000 years are closing out. We know that in 6 days, recreative days, God recreated this planet back. And that it's going to take 6,000 years for this, for man's journey here on earth. And then there's gonna come in the millennium reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the day of rest. If you know the principle of God and the whole counsel that God had with himself in Ephesians 1, you will understand how the things of God work. And that's why Jesus said in Matthew 24, like the song says, I believe the Lord is coming. His coming is very soon. Just compare today with Matthew 24. When Jesus was here, he went over Matthew 24 because his disciples asked him questions. What will be the signs of the coming? The questions that his disciples asked Jesus. And he went over these things. He went over the destruction of Jerusalem, and he went over the signs of the coming of the Lord, when he will come again. But he also had this parable here that says, now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and put it forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So those are the natural signs that we have in life. When spring comes, then the leaves start coming out and budding, and that's the sign that the summer is coming here. Mm-hmm. But there's also signs in the spirit world. When you will look at Israel, that's the fig tree that Jesus is talking about. When you will see that Israel is becoming a nation again and getting established, even in the midst of very troublous times, but the plan of God is going ahead. That counsel that he had is going ahead. And that's what Jesus is talking about. So likewise, you, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. The pressure that's on Israel all the time. See, that's all that restoration that Jesus talked about in Acts chapter 1. That restoration is happening. To bring Israel back to their homeland. Verily, I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. See, that's the generation that started seeing all these things when Israel became a nation in 1948. That's that generation that Jesus is talking about that is going to see the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are that generation. And that's why this world can kind of sidetrack you and deceive you, and the Laodicea church age is all about is deception, because people think they're rich in need of nothing, then they're just content in that, but they don't realize that the signs all around them are pointing to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's that parable. Like, we can see natural signs in nature, but these natural signs in nature should teach us something in the spirit, that there is a preparation happening and that people need to be prepare themselves for the coming of the Lord. And that's the course that God has put our journey on when he first saved us. My whole makeup was consumed with wanting to be ready when he comes.
At the bottom line, mm-hmm. You go back in Acts chapter 1, where he was asked, like the disciples asked him, will you once again restore Israel? Like to bring it back to its former glory, where King David and Solomon and all that, will you at that time once again restore Israel because they had lost it?
because of your lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And now they were asking him, Jesus, will you that once again restore Israel? And Jesus said to them, like if you know the whole makeup, Jesus said to them, it's not for you to know. You don't need to know because it's not going to happen in your lifetime. He didn't say that there's not coming a day and an hour when he'll once again restore Israel, but he more or less, it's none of your business. You won't be living in that lifetime, so it's no use for you to consume yourself with when I will once again restore Israel. And like I'm putting it, I'm paraphrasing it, but at the end of time, when that time comes, I'm going to have somebody ready, somebody that's ready, willing, and able, and he's going to tell exactly when the restoration of Israel is going to be on, and he's just giving you and I just two used to be farmers, just two simple nobody, just down here at the closing days of time. He has given us exactly right to the day when he is going to begin to restore Israel, and it's exactly on October the 15th, 2021, right at that Yom Kippur feast. Mm-hmm. At Yom Kippur feast, you got to go back and study it. See, we did all the homework. We studied all that out when that Yom Kippur is. And it brings right in line when Jesus Christ went off the sea to mercy, the grace age ended October the 15th, 2021. And now here, the restoration of Israel is on. There's only a few more years left before all things is going to happen. And then the millennium sets in, and then throughout the millennium, just exactly what the Bible says, back in the days of Hosea, after 2 days he'll revive us, but then the third day he'll raise us up. The third day is the millennium, but in the meantime here, within the 2 days, like in the 2 days here, we're still in the 2 days of Hosea. We're not in the third day yet. We're still within the 2 day time period, but now here in the 2 day. 2 days of Hosea, there's 7 years left for the Jew, where God will once again go back to the Jewish nation, and they will once again start restoring Israel. It's just that simple. All you gotta do is look at the, open your eyes, get on the YouTube, get on the internet, just like you and I are doing. I went in there, checked how many earthquakes there were today. It's all you gotta do, God. Put that internet out there. There's be no excuse.
That's right.
He got us to put this thing out there. There'll be no excuse. He got us to send out these books to people. Not to convert them, but just to let them know there's coming a day that you will have wonder, why didn't we see it? Well, you did see it. You threw the books out. You sent them back. You tore them up. You didn't want to have nothing to do with Samuel. Mm-hmm. Right? And they were just trying to warn you, and that's all our job is. We're just warning people. We'd go to the ends of the earth if we knew there was somebody out there that has a hunger and a thirst, but apparently there's no hunger and there's no thirst. The people, like I kept saying the other day, if everybody would still listen to that started listening to us, we'd have hundreds of people stepping in every day, but it dwindles down to just a handful because there's nothing there. They have no reverence and no respect for the Word of God, and they can't persevere. They just send it for entertainment.
That's right.
But there's some that are serious. There's some that are, I call them diehard. They just come back day after day, week after week, year after year. They're still tapping in because they're concerned about the eternal destiny. They're concerned about the destiny of their children. Because this is the only thing that's left. If you can only get yourself to a place where you can disconnect yourself from the things of this world, because this world is going out. It's going up in smoke, because at the end of the day, everything that can be shaken will be shaken, and the only thing that cannot be shaken will remain, and the only thing that cannot be shaken is the truth. The truth for your day. This here truth, if you reject that, there's no future for you. You're going to go out to hell. That according to the scriptures, because you and I, we have a reverence and a respect for the program of God, and we see it unfolding right before our very eyes. Earthquakes, wars and rumors of wars, everything, we're right in it. It's not something in the future. We're right in these days where it says it's going to be very hard to be a Christian at the end time. Perilous times shall come. Deceivers and being deceived. That's the hour that we're now living in. Just switch on your YouTube and you'll find exactly what we're talking about. And see, people, they want to be like that ostrich. They push their head in the sand. Oh, it's not going to happen. And we don't have to listen to these two idiots. And that's the way to go down the road alive. And then when your kitchen burns down or disaster hits or cancer comes into your life, you wonder what happened. Well, you rejected the truth for your day. That's what happened. And we're just trying out here, trying our level best to warn people, but people, the fish don't bite. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. People that have no hunger for it. You think that materialism, that boat and that camper and all these fancy little toys, they think it's going to take them out. There's a future in it. There's absolutely no future. The future is over. Just a few short years and it's all over. It's going to be all over but the crying. I mean, that's what we're doing, what we're doing. That's why the Lord has sent us out to send out these warning shots. That's to warn people what's coming. And we do it gladly because we got no other job. Mm-hmm. Got nothing else to do.
Mm-hmm. That's why Jesus warned that we should take heed to yourself, that our hearts not be overcharged with the things of this world, with eating and drinking and the cares, so that day will not catch us unaware. Mm-hmm. And you can see the beautiful picture that God has put together, just so mankind will not be caught unawares. Like Noah, he preached for 100 years, there's a flood coming. And you can see that whole fig tree of Israel, when you will look at the history of the Balfour Declaration, mm-hmm. the history of the Zionist movement was all to waken up Israel. That's that feast of the trumpets, when they were told to sound a trumpet to regather back in Jerusalem, the fifth feast. And that's what those Zionists did. They reawakened up the people. It's now time to regather home. And in 1917 was the Balfour Declaration. And that was the British government. They now expressed support that there's a nation that people can go back to, that the Jewish people can now go back to that nation there in Israel today. But it wasn't until 1948 that it became a nation. But you can see how God was establishing a pathway for the Jewish people to go back to their homeland so that they wouldn't have to go through a Holocaust. But because they did not listen to the rabbis, to the Zionist movement, that they should go back to their homeland, they were caught in the Holocaust, in the war. And you can see how beautiful God has put everything together to waken up mankind so that we can learn from that fig tree what God is doing, so we can know the signs of the time and be prepared for the hour we're living in, so that those things do not come upon us unawares. But people, if they don't let their hearts that let these things speak to their hearts, that then God can prepare these people. Like, there's so many people you talk to, and it's unbelievable sometimes because of where God has brought us to, that it's hard to even comprehend.
Can't like, communicate.
Yes, like I was speaking to this lady yesterday, and like she was saying, there was this preacher that got up and said, not everybody that leaves the colony, like you can be a Christian outside a colony. Well, see, that whole way that sentence is structured is deception. Mm-hmm. It's almost saying like the Hutterites are the only Christians in the world, but that's deception. You are not born a Christian. You are not born into something. Like, you're born into a family, a natural family. But when you're born again, you're born into the family of God, not into a Hutterite colony. See, that whole structure of that sentence is deception. It's almost saying that you have to be on a colony to be a Christian. But you can also be a Christian outside. If you leave, you can also be a Christian. See, that's whole deception. That's not the way Christianity works, and a lot of people that leave the colony, they never really left for reasons of something that was convicting them of the way of life. The Hutterite way of life is not the way to heaven. See, our God convicted us when we were young about that lifestyle and everything, and He brought us out. But there is a lot of ex-Hutterites that leave, that something always draws them back.
Mm-hmm.
It always draws them back. And when you hear somebody say that, it's kind of like you sometimes take it for granted that everybody knows that. That, you know, you're not born. Just because you're born a Hutterite does not mean you're born a Christian. And that's how people are deceived into thinking that if you are living in the Hutterite colony, you're going to go to heaven. But that's deception. If you do not receive the Lord Jesus Christ and the gift of salvation that's been offered, then that Hutterite life is going to lead you out to hell and death. It's not... It's deception.
That's the bottom line. That's the long and the short of it. Like I say, we've been beating the drum here for 40 years, and like I say, the fish don't bite. But see, we just been given the mandate,
mm-hmm.
as it was in the days of Noah. How many people believe Noah? They were out there doing their thing, eating and drinking, getting married and all that stuff, continuing down the pathway like this is going to continue on forever. And that's exactly the same way today. People go about their daily activity and they have no clue. They're so unconnected from reality.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the first things the Lord dealt with me when He woke me up and said, Sam, I'm coming. The first thing He dealt with me was that drinking thing. Beware that any time your heart be overshadowed with eating and drinking. And that's the journey put me on. That alcohol had to go right in a heartbeat. And I don't care for alcohol. Then He put me on the fast 3 years in a row for 40 days. Get rid of that food thing. It's something that you fight with all your life. Right to this very day, that's the very thing I'm fighting with. Because it says that beware that any time your heart be overcharged with eating and drinking and the cares of this world, and it overtakes you, and then that day will come upon you unawares, like a thief in the night, like a lasso it'll come. And people won't be aware, but see, we try we're doing. That's why we're sending out these warning shots time and time again, trying to wake people up. But see, they're given the penalty. If you have anything to do with Samuel or Rand, you're going to be in the out. And they allow themselves to be threatened and fear-mongered by these tugs and the pulpits. You know, I've been beating the gums. I've been exposing them, who they really are. They're nothing but agents of Satan, and it's pretty hard for us to come true to people because they've been told and they've been brainwashed that they're really these holy people, just like it was back in the days of Jesus when He started to uncover, taking the cover. It took them 3.5 years to expose that Pharisaical council because He started out with telling them, if your righteousness does not exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees, there is absolutely no way that you can enter in. And by the time end of his journey, Matthew 23, He took the gloves off and He just told, you are of your father the devil. It's just that simple.
Mm-hmm.
When we talk like that, they think we're blaspheming. But we're telling it just exactly the way it is. Here in these closing days, it's even going to be worse than it was back in the days of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But see here, in these closing days, everything is under the cloak of deception. Satan wants to deceive the people, lull them to sleep, and then you and I come along, we tell people the truth, and oh man, I tell you, it's blaspheming, they say, oh man. But see, we're just doing our job, and if people want it, fine. If they don't, well,
mm-hmm.
they're going to be left without. It's just that simple.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Heavenly Father, we just want to come before You, Lord, and we just want to let people know that the signs of Your coming are all around us, and that's what the journey that You have called us on, to prepare for Your coming. And we're just letting people know the dangers and what this age has been faced with, the Laodicea church age, and to deceive people, thinking that they're rich and in need of nothing, but spiritually they're wretched, naked, and blind, Lord. And we give You thanks, Lord, that You called us out and prepared us, Lord, and made us aware, Lord, of Your coming is near, and people, and we just want to share it with people so they too can be awakened and prepare for Your coming. We just give You thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.